This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, Fred Khalil from CBS 46 hanging around for one more segment with me as we look outside. Look at these different colors outside, Fred. It's amazing.
I mean, it is the colors. Like a painting.
It really is.
Beautiful sky, beautiful sunset.
Nine flow. You would never believe that from what we had when we got things started here in a couple of hours.
Yeah, like, it was like, 2 hours lightning ago. And
yeah,
thunder.
And there was a wall of water that was falling.
It was like, it really was a wall, like a sheet of rain.
Yeah. But now look at those colors.
Beautiful.
Beautiful sunset we're looking at from 9-4s up here in the Kia Studios as we keep an eye on the Braves now in the third inning with Chicago up 1-0 and the College World Series game. Game one in the sixth inning, Michigan has a 4-2 lead over them. Don't forget, Atlanta United plays here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They go back to work this Wednesday night. They're back taking on Toronto FC. Pre-game is at 7:30. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. Join Jason Longshore, Mike Conti will be on the call and see if this team can come back and recapture the form they had before they went on this break, Fred, because
they were rolling in that break kind of put threw a wrench in the mojo, maybe.
Yeah, look, we hope not. I mean, they got a little break away, and some teams played, some players played for the national teams, like Joseph Martinez. But
right. I mean, that's the guy they miss. He's unbelievable, that
dude. Yeah, he is. He's amazing. And it'll be great to have them back in action. And, of course, they'll be back here on Saturday taking on Montreal. That game is a 5:30 pregame and a 6 o'clock kick as we want to see if they continue this march on making it back-to-back MLS championships.
That'd be wild, wouldn't it? Two MLS Cups, bing, bang.
That'd be something.
That'd be unbelievable.
Amazing, amazing.
I think it was great that they won that one last year. I thought that was so cool. The parade, right?
Yeah. Well, it was freezing and cold and rain.
That's people, right. It was a
people
parade,
didn't care.
Though.
People didn't care.
Hey, it was a champion, you know?
Championship parade in Atlanta.
And then Tata says, Tata.
Yeah.
Right? Tata.
You know, but people will never forget him.
No.
For guiding the team. And he,
you know, he came here and he said he was going to do what he did, and he did it.
Absolutely.
And he said he was going to probably move on, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, you won a championship, he deserved to do
what he wants.
Right,
you know,
no doubt.
And started a great foundation
he
here.
He did.
And I think because of all the things combined, let's go back once again, start at the top with Arthur Blank. It makes Atlanta a team that a lot of players want to come and be
exactly.
a part of. I mean, how many other teams can you play in? How many places can you play in this country where 71,000 people are going to show up to see you play?
Every week.
How about that?
I mean, that's...
You know, that's the thing you think of. Just the kind of atmosphere that's created here in Atlanta that you don't get anywhere else.
I remember, well, you know, we're such a multicultural city, Sam. And, you know, the great thing is the stadium was... Remember they had closed it down to whatever? And like game number two, boom, blow it all up. It took 1 week, and then all of a sudden, the whole place was open and rocking, 70,000.
How about that?
That was great.
It was. It was. It truly was. And I think it's you know, a tribute to the city and tribute, once again, to Arthur Blank for knowing his market.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing
nobody
his customers.
He goes and does research. Well,
that,
I mean.
Something.
Now, come on. A guy, if anybody knows customers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Arthur and Bernie, right? They know their customers. They know how to find them. They know what to do.
Yep.
And they know how to make them happy.
Yep. Customer service.
That's it.
That's it. And it works. It works. It truly does. And that's what makes Atlanta United such a big hit. And that's something that people enjoy and people in other cities kind of envy.
The players, no doubt.
Who wish they could come and be a part of things that are going on. Here with Atlanta United. You will mention before we go, because we're going to talk about, you know, in the next segment, going to be joined by Dan Walken from USA Today, and he's has some thoughts on what's happening with UConn leaving American Athletic Conference, the AAC, with UConn's basketball going back to the Big East, which is a big place that was popular for Big Monday.
And, Big Monday, that's right. Remember Big Monday?
Yeah.
Had the Big East. played, and then the Big West was on too. Remember, they were in the late game.
They were in the late game. When you make it the Big East early, you get a Big Ten, and then you get the Big West after, you know, late if you want to stay
late.
Yeah, we're watching Santa Clara or somebody.
Yeah, that's right. The slugs, the banana slugs.
or the anteaters.
The anteaters. UC Irvine, yeah.
Those folks, you know. But you talked about a conference earlier, and you talked about the Metro.
The Metro Conference. That was a conference that, you know, when we were in our 20s, Sam, that was a conference that we both covered because that was really a conference that really bloomed a lot. I mean, a lot, not bloomed, but, you know, they grew a lot of programs into big programs that got their start in the Metro Conference.
Georgia Tech was in it.
Right.
Georgia Tech was there, but I mean, it was not, not for
State
football, though,
it.
Because it was basically a basketball conference.
Right.
You know, Memphis State was in it.
Louisville.
Louisville.
Was DePaul in that?
No.
No, 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 no.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati was in it.
Yeah. Tulane. And one that we forget in life when we were talking about all the other was St. Louis.
The Billikens.
The Billikens.
Oh, how do I forget about the Billikens,
the Billikens of St. Louis.
Yeah. SLU.
It made that up, man.
Yeah, man.
So that was it. And then later on, teams like Virginia Tech and Florida State.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. That's who I remember in there.
Yeah,
Florida State, Virginia Tech in that Metro Conference. That was
South Carolina was there for
Me? They were. Because remember, they didn't have a home. They never.
Man.
Remember, because they used to be in the ACC forever, and then
they dropped
out of that, and then they weren't in the – there was no SEC. They weren't in the SEC then.
Right. They were independent football. Florida State was independent football. Virginia Tech was independent football.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's how – I mean, Florida State, and that's how those guys, they play who they want when they want.
Yeah, but then they found it more conducive to be a part of the conference.
Right.
ACC, you know, brought in Virginia Tech, brought in Florida State, and it really strengthened their football. Is what they were looking to because ACC was such a basketball league.
Right.
I always said that Clemson was the one school in that conference that that was an ACC school with an SEC mentality.
They'd rather beat you
rather beat you in a football game than a basketball game.
Right. It's still that way, probably. You know.
Yeah. Any day. Going back to the days of Danny Ford, who was coaching up at that place. So that's just talking the conference as we think about what's happening with UConn. And where could their football program go? And you're trying to think if you're going to be, you know, FBS, you know, Division I. It's not really another conference. That football program hasn't been strong enough to try to approach the Big Ten or the ACC.
Yeah.
You know,
they can't.
I don't know if the MAC would take them on. It's just that's still a big stretch.
Yeah, you don't want the MAC. You know, if you're them, you don't want to play in the MAC.
Why not?
You're not going to get any exposure in the MAC. I mean, that's, you know,
if you play in the MAC, you'd be on Tuesday night.
No,
but you'd be on,
who cares? The MAC is not, that's like a
– Why?
You know, that's a second-tier league, man. Come on.
You know,
that's like Bowling Green and
– Right.
You don't want to – Are you kidding me?
Akron,
the Zips?
Toledo,
the Rockets. Yeah, man, I know my Mac. Come on.
But I'm saying, well, I mean, what's
– How about Ypsilanti, baby? The Hurons of Eastern Michigan. Here they come, baby. From the lake. Yeah. Western Michigan. They play in Waldo Stadium in Kalamazoo.
Going to see those guys.
Yeah, I got recruited there, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember much of it. Going to see them this fall. Georgia State's got to go visit those guys this fall.
Up to Waldo Stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have a blast up there, Sammy.
Think so?
Oh, you will have a blast. Because you go up on Friday, right?
Oh, yeah.
What time is the game Saturday?
Saturday afternoon. I don't think it's a night game.
Yeah. So, you're going to have a good time up there, man.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But that wouldn't be a good place for UConn. I mean,
I don't think so.
Well, would you go just
I mean, they want to be, I mean, look, UConn.
Well, that's basketball. That's some of the great stuff.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You just can't play. You can't split your program up and go somewhere. You know what I mean? That's like, I mean, look at the Big Ten. You know what I mean?
But if the basketball.
Look, I mean, seriously, look at my alma mater, Indiana, in the Big Ten. I mean, they probably wanted to kick them out for football for how many years, right? But their basketball is.
It's what balances off the league.
Okay, well, there you go. So,
but I mean, but they're going to the Big East, though, and it's not an option. If basketball and all the other sports are going to the Big East, it's not an option for their football. And some people think, will they even move back down to FCS?
The 1AA? No.
They could join the Colonial with
Villanova.
No.
Come on, Sammy. You can't do that.
So you're going to go independent?
You could go independent. That way you can play who you want.
That's what Liberty.
When you want.
That's what Liberty's doing.
You can play who you want when you want. You can set yourself up.
You think?
You can plan a 10-win season. Look how long Notre Dame's done that. Come on.
Yeah, but Notre Dame is different than UConn.
Man.
My goodness. Notre Dame, you know what I mean.
I mean, they just pick who they want and play who they want, you know, and, oh, yeah, these guys are on TV. Okay, well, hold on. We need an easy game before that. Yeah, okay, there we go. There's our schedule.
Well,
yeah.
No, you know what? That's, you know, and that's the way it kind of looked last year. But Notre Dame, there's a schedule Notre Dame has. They're going to go.
That's how it looks every year. What do you mean?
I mean, last year you had some teams on there. They have Stanford and Southern Cal on that schedule. If Stanford and Southern Cal play the usual Stanford and Southern Cal seasons, then that's a bigger challenge. They weren't that last year. They didn't play any of the tougher teams out of the ACC. They get five ACC teams each year.
It's just like when Digger Phelps was there for basketball. He was going to win 20 no matter what. He'd play UCLA twice. He had to play Indiana. He wouldn't play Purdue. He had to play Indiana. He had to play UCLA twice. And, you know, Louisville, he'd always play. They'd play they played Kentucky. They didn't play Louisville.
Okay.
They played Kentucky in Louisville. Neutral court. The neutral court.
Freedom Hall.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, could UConn do that? I'm trying to think. Notre Dame could do that because of their brand and what they've done. UConn hadn't done that with their football.
No, they haven't. You're right. You don't want to drop down to 1AA. I mean, come on. FCS, whatever it is. You want to play the best you can.
So you try to make some regional matchups. You try to match up and have Temple.
Yeah, you play Temple.
Try to have Rutgers.
Rutgers, Temple. Rutgers is in the Big Ten now, aren't they?
Yeah, Rutgers is the Big Ten.
That's crazy to me.
You know, but that's
what they want, the New York market, that's all.
But they're in that area. If you can, you know, get on the schedule.
Play Rutgers, play.
Come down and play Pitt maybe sometimes.
Oh, yeah, play Pitt. Sure, why not? There you go.
West Virginia.
There you go. Sammy, look at this. You got the schedule. Now, look, because WVU used to do that same thing. Because you remember, West Virginia was one of those major independents for a long time, too.
Right.
And, they'd be perfect for the Metro. West Virginia would.
But that's the whole thing, though, man. I mean, this is what you wonder about, a team that can come in and be a fit for a conference, you know, like AAC. When you think, when that conference, you know, comes about, there are also schools that, you know, in Conference USA, would any of those teams go over and be a good fit for that conference? So you're also watching
Conference
that
USA has gotten huge, man.
Yeah, it has. It is massive to think about all the teams that have joined that particular league. But we'll see. You know, in American AAC, they got Tulsa. They got Tulane now. They got East Carolina, their football has been struggling the last few. But you got Central Florida in that league. You know, you got South Florida. So you got some programs that are really, really.
Well, that conference has gotten so big, they split it into two divisions, haven't they?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But they play their own
conference. Tulsa is a heck of a long way from East Carolina.
Yep. And they got Houston, which a lot of people were thinking Houston was gonna go Big 12, but we don't know.
No.
Still, you know. Well, we'll see.
They can't go Big 12.
You can't.
I don't think Houston goes Big 12, can they?
I think they can.
Okay. You got West Virginia in the Big 12 now, too.
Yeah, right. That's a long bus ride.
Right.
You don't want to go on that one. So that's the thing that we're watching as far as that goes. And so we're coming up in the next segment. Dan Walken is going to join us from USA Today. And he's been going back and forth with a team close by. That might be a team that the team – maybe not right now for the AAC, but maybe down the road. And he's going to join us. We're going to talk about it. But, Freddie, you getting ready to take off?
I got to go, man. CBS 46 tonight at 11 o'clock, man.
11 o'clock?
All right.
We'll see you.
Thanks, Sammy. Always good to be with you.
Great to see you always. That's Fred Khalil from CBS 46 joining us tonight. Always great to have him in the house. Stay tuned. Dan Walken from USA Today is coming up. Talk about this next round of conference movement in college athletics. Are we seeing the beginning now? That's coming up. Stay with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. The Kia Studios on this Monday night, 9 floors up. And, pleasant sunset outside. But, man, 2.5 hours ago, it wasn't that way. Bad rain came through. Hope everything is well wherever you are around the metro Atlanta area. And hope that rain is blown out and ready to have a restful evening. And you know what? Talked a lot about what Fred just talked about, conference and conference moving and conference realignment. Seems like we may have another round of it on the horizon and may have gotten started up the East Coast, but it could affect some teams in our neck of the woods. And joining us now on the waitfor.com to talk about it is Dan Walken from USA Today joining us now. Dan, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right. Always good catching up with you and talking some college sports, talking some things. Let's start with this movement by UConn today. And did you see this coming on the horizon and the fact that the other sports would go and leave football behind?
Well,
I think that UConn has been uneasy in the American Athletic Conference since pretty much the very beginning. I think that the last few years with partly the incompetence of the basketball program and partly the fact that the American Athletic Conference has not helped their recruiting has kind of added to this sense that they need to do something. They need to get out. The ticket sales have been down. The fan interest has been low. And I think the administration has kind of gotten pushed into a corner at UConn, and they've decided that they have to save basketball, and the way to do that is to go to the Big East, and that football is a secondary concern. And time will tell whether that's a good bet or not, but that's what they've decided to do.
That sounds odd, of course, and this is going to be the start of what something that helps start this next round of college sports realignment. It seems like it's always been driven by football. And this is something that's starting out with basketball at the helm of it. A little different, but I guess you're going back to some schools and some conferences in the Big East that it has always been a comfortable fit for UConn.
Yeah, they're going back to schools and basketball that they know very well, that they were with in the old Big East, Georgetown, Villanova, and then in more recent versions of the Big East, Marquette, and DePaul. So they're more traditional rivals, more regional rivals. UConn was a bit of an outlier in the American. They were a Northeast-based school playing Houston and SMU and Tulsa and Memphis and East Carolina and the Florida schools. So it wasn't a very good situation for them, admittedly, but it certainly is not a great move for their football program, and I think they've kind of decided that they're not going to play big-time football going forward and that they're going to really focus on basketball.
That being said, where does it leave their football program? Because there are not a lot of places, I guess, for them to go, especially not regionally. They're going to play at a certain level.
Yeah, look, I think without a conference to play in, and I don't think anyone is really going to be jumping up and down to take UConn as a football-only member, it's going to be difficult. And they're going to have to put together a schedule as an independent, and they're going to have to play a lot of games that are not going to be particularly attractive to their fan base, and they're going to have to go on the road a lot and try to get paid money to play these games. And it's not going to be easy to attract people to play in their home stadium. Because, frankly, most schools are just not going to want to go play in Connecticut in September, October, November. So that's what they're dealing with, and it's not an easy road. They're not Notre Dame. They're not even BYU in terms of a attractiveness standpoint. So I think it's going to look more like UMass. And UMass, frankly, it's not a great existence as a football program. But, again, that's not their priority. That's not what they feel like is most important. They're trying to put themselves in position to have the most successful basketball programs possible, and they feel like they can do that in the Big East, and it doesn't really matter what happens to their football program.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Dan Walken. You can follow him on Twitter, @DanWalken. He is social, and he puts a lot out there. And when this started happening, you put out there some thoughts about a team very close to us here in Atlanta, a school and a program that could down the road be a fit possibly for this conference. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'm not really convinced that the American Athletic Conference is going to add anyone at this point. I think the American is going to be really careful in terms of adding schools because nobody brings a ton of value. And if they're going to get paid the same from ESPN, if they're 11 or 12, maybe they just stay at 11, and I think that's probably what's going to happen. But if they feel like they have to have a 12th member, and if BYU's not interested, if Army's not interested, and I don't think Army will be interested, then you're picking from a group of schools in Conference USA in the Sun Belt that is, I would say, probably not competitively on par, and schools that are going to have to up their game a little bit. And certainly Georgia State is is not a school that is ready right now to compete in football in a league like the American. But if you've been down there to their campus lately, if you've been over by Turner Field, which they've now converted to their football stadium, they've put a lot of student housing up over there. There's some things going in that neighborhood. They're going to eventually build a basketball facility over there. It's a nice athletics campus setup, and obviously Georgia State's got a lot of students, a lot of local interest in terms of alums. Obviously, they have not made a huge mark in sports aside from, you know, a couple Sun Belt conference championships in basketball, but there's a lot of growth potential there, and I think people look at Georgia State as a school that if they got involved in the right situation, they could be a big player because of their location and just the fact that they've got some, you know, burgeoning facilities and a lot of room to grow, and they're in a good market.
Market is something else. When you look around that league, the AAC, a lot of the schools are in cities, are in metropolitan areas, and that's something else that Georgia State would have in common with that conference.
Yeah, I think it's a league that has got or has been based in major cities, Houston, Dallas, Memphis, Cincinnati, you know, places where, yeah, it's they're urban-type schools. You know, they've got airports where people can fly in and out. There's exceptions to the rule, but yeah, for the most part, it's a school that has a lot of campuses in big cities, you know, Tulane and New Orleans and Tulsa. So yeah, I think Georgia State would sort of fit that, but you know, they have a long way to go in the world of college athletics in terms of building their program, but if you make a play for potential, then you have to at least consider them and look at what they're doing over there and what they're going to be in 10 years as opposed to where they are now.
Yeah, spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Dan Walken. When do you think we honestly see this start really happening as far as this next wave of conference realignment? Talked with several conference commissioners who told me that it's in the next 2 to 3 years or maybe sooner we'll start to see it. Are you feeling like that's something else that's coming around?
You know, I don't know. I think that we've got media deals coming up for renewal in, you know, 2022-2024. The college football playoff contract, I believe, is done in 2026. So that area, definitely it'll start to kind of get ramped up and a lot of the speculation, moving pieces. But, yeah, probably got a couple years before it really gets kind of heated up. But I do think this time around, you know, there certainly could be more realignment, but there is going to be, I think, a question mark about whether or not, you know, that it brings more value to some of these leagues.
Bring more value. Obviously, you want teams that will bring things to the table rather than basically come there because of what they can get. So you're looking for that. What about a program like, you talk about Georgia State, what about a program like a Liberty right now? I mean, they got lots of support. Seems like they're out there looking for somebody to take on a football program.
Yeah, Liberty's been an independent at FBS for the last year, and I think it's going to be difficult for Liberty to get traction as a member of a conference. They've got a lot of issues internally with, you know, just kind of, it's a unique kind of school. And I think Liberty, to convince people within the college athletics that they're, you know, more BYU than Oral Roberts is a religious-based institution, that's a high bar, and that's a hurdle that they're going to have to get over, and I don't think they're really close to that, although certainly Liberty has put a lot of money into their sports programs. And,
yeah.
You know, they've become a very ambitious institution in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Dan Walken. Before I let you go, got to ask you a little bit about what happened over in Athens this week with J.J. Holloman being dismissed from the Georgia team, the impact of it. A lot of people asking why now. But, you know, nothing can be done about that. What does Georgia have to do going forward? Some young guys are going to have to step up.
Well, for sure. I mean, Georgia, the reason why you recruit these great classes is to give yourself margin for error. And I think, you know, Georgia's talent base, every year you're going to have positions where you feel good and then positions where you maybe don't feel as good. And this year they're going to go into it with more questions at wide receiver. There's no doubt about it, especially, you know, losing some of the guys they did to the draft. But, you know, Ridley and Isaac Nauta and some of those guys, yeah, they're having to figure out who's going to catch passes from Jake Fromm this year. But at the same time, you know, look, Georgia's recruited well. They've got a depth of skill in their program. They'll be able to identify some people. And I think at the end of the day, they'll be fine.
Yep, we'll see what happens. That time will be here before we know it. We'll be lining up and getting ready to go, the media days and all that type of thing. And of course, we'll be reading you, your predictions and prognostications for the upcoming season, as always. Dan, we thank you for spending some time with us on this Monday night. Always great to catch up with you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that is Dan Walken from USA Today Sports joining us. You can follow him once again on Twitter, at Dan Walken, and some thoughts on the AAC and down the road, what they could be looking at. Could Georgia State be a team that look at a program? Of course, we're looking down the road with the facilities that are taking place, with the stadium, on the drawing board, new arena, dorms that are going up. And if you haven't been over in that part of town, you need to go by there and just see all the things that are going on over near Georgia State Stadium. Back with more on that and more on this Monday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios on a Monday night. So glad you're hanging out with me. Had Fred Khalil in with me until a few minutes ago. But hanging out. He's back over to be with CBS Atlanta. Be doing the sports there for him at 11 o'clock. Got this reminder for you. Join Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael, 92.9 The Game, this Saturday, the midday show broadcast live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw from noon to 3. Hang out with the midday show for lunch. Enjoy delicious man food and cold beer. Join us this Saturday from noon to 3, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Bunker, McMichael, Andy and Randy show. Should be a lot of fun. Hang out with those guys. Like I said earlier, when we started the show, the rain was like falling sideways here in Midtown. Just wall of water was falling. And it's moved off to the east. And it's been for a very, very pleasant view tonight from 9 floors up in Midtown. Hope it is for you wherever you are around the Metro Atlanta area. Good to hear from Dan Walken and talk with him a little bit about what to expect if what's going on at UConn is the start of the next round of conference realignment. I can't imagine it being as drastic and dramatic as it was the last couple of times around. It was, teams were flying all over the place. And some of the places made sense, and some of them didn't make sense, and some of them still don't make sense. But they did it. And so we don't know if this particular move is like the first part of it that gets it started. We'll see where it goes. But it's also, you know, neat to get his perspective on the future for a conference like AAC and whether or not they feel like a program like Georgia State that is still building and getting comfortable in being program competitive at that level that other teams and other conferences would look at and want to be a part of and want to join their league. Certainly what he says is true. The airport, of course, is a great equalizer that you know, makes this area attractive. And obviously the location of the school in the heart of the city is also attractive. The fact that they've, you know, taken over what was Turner Field and have really done impressive, amazing things with that facility. We've seen what it looks like now for football. The state high school football championships are going to be played at Georgia State this year. And also, you know, things they've done, the entire football operation has been moved into that stadium. And something I haven't seen all of yet. I got to get over and get a look at all the things. The new weight room, things for the locker room, offices, and things for meeting rooms. All of those things have been moved there for the program. But that's just part of it. You know, housing is coming up. A big dormitory should be opening right across the street from the stadium in time for fall, for the fall semester. And then, of course, you know, at some point here, probably toward the end of the summer or late, maybe not late, latter part of the summer, they expect to break ground on a new arena for basketball over in that same vicinity, you know, with baseball to follow. So a lot of things on the horizon. If you haven't been over and drive on that area, Georgia Avenue and drive, it's a lot of things are starting to take shape. And I did, I took some time and drove that way from the stadium going back toward Grant Park, and a lot of shops and some restaurants and some bars and things are starting to open up over that way in Summer Hill. And that's all, to me, that's all a part of it and all what would be there and make that just an incredible environment going forward for the future. So that's just some of what we heard. And I thought we would, you know, since Dan Walken was talking about the Georgia State, and of course Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home for Georgia State athletics, I thought we would throw that out there, let him talk about that a little bit tonight. It was great. Also keeping an eye on things with our Braves. They're playing right now in the fifth inning and down 2-0 to Chicago. And we talk about early in the game, we had a little nastiness in this game. And, you know, of course, you got two first-place teams going at it here. And Wilson Contreras, it's a home run off Julio Teheran, and he's doing a lot of chirping as he rounds the bases and gets to a home plate, steps on the plate, and then turns back and has some verbal shots back at Tyler Flowers, who didn't take too kindly to it. And the home plate umpire had to get between the two. And so things have been a little bit terse. I don't think anybody's been hit by any pitches or anything. But certainly, you know, Chicago's making some noise. And there was a little water under that bridge from the past with Contreras and the Braves. But, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. This is the first game of this series, which is a big one for this Atlanta Braves team that, you know, continues to surprise us. Well, surprise some, but continues to amaze us, I think. As I talked with Fred Khalil early when we started, we talked about the first week of the season and how things looked up in Philadelphia and how things didn't look very good. And people were saying, well, maybe the Braves are going to play for the wild card this year. You know, and maybe they might be too. That Philadelphia team is really stacked and got all kind of talent. And, you know, maybe just playing for second this year. That's what a lot of people said and tried to convince us that, you got a lot of young players, and maybe this year they're going to drop off and have sophomore slides, whatever you want to call it, and they're not going to play. They're not going to do what they did last year. It won't happen. You know, Philadelphia has the team, and they've gone out and brought in some talent, and, you know, watch and see what happens. And sure enough, you know, it started out that way, but, it, you know, right now Philadelphia is a team that's struggling, and the Braves – with a 6.5 game lead before play started tonight. If anyone had told me after the first week of the season that the Braves would be up by 6.5 games, I would have said, you're out of your mind. No way that's going to happen. And we've done it despite a bullpen sometimes that, you know, the door opens and you don't know what's going to come out. But they still find ways to win baseball games and win series. They find a way to win 2 out of 3. And that's what you want to see. So you wonder, and the starting rotation was pretty set, and now we got some problems, you know, with that. Mike Fulton-Evich, you know, he's had his troubles reclaiming the form that made him an all-star. And so he has been, you know, sent down to AAA to try to work those things out in his mechanics and to see if he can reclaim that form and reclaim his spot in the starting rotation. We'll see what happens going forward with him. So that's – there are a number of things that we're concerned about with the team as far as the bullpen, but now the starters, we're wondering. We're going to see. Dallas Keuchel, we want to see him get his second start under his belt, see if he can have a better effort than his first night out. We'll see what happens with him. The young guys are the ones who've been doing all the great things for this team as far as the starting rotation goes. And, you know, so we will see what happens. Freed and Soroka have been outstanding so far this part of the season. We'll see if they can maintain that. Freed has had some bumpy outings, with Mike Soroka has just been spot on. And let's see if he even gets a spot in the All-Star game. Right now, I think he certainly deserves it. But is this enough pitching to really go deep into the playoffs? You don't want to just make it this time. I said before the season started, I'd like to see this team in the NLCS. That's what I'd like to see this team do. And I still say that. You know, I still said that even after the disappointing start in Philadelphia. I still want to see this team in the NLCS this year. And I think they have what it takes to get there, and, you know, and we'll see what happens. Obviously, the Dodgers are out there. And we know what's up with the Dodgers. And we know they got tremendous pitching. Their rotation is incredible, and you don't take a whole lot of runs for those guys. They get two runs, whatever, and you could be in trouble. We love the offensive output right now from this Braves team, but we know when the calendar turns to October, that pitching usually takes over. And so that's something the Braves have to build up their own starting rotation, get it solidified, and guys at their best. You know, we got a long way to go to October. Still a lot of baseball to be played. But we got to like where we are right now. I know I do. It's 6.5 games up, man. That is, you know, did not see it coming, but awfully glad that it's here. And we wait to see what they can do right now. Man, we're down 4-0 in the fifth inning with nobody out and two on in Chicago. And this one's not looking good. And like I said, even with Contreras with a little jaw in there after his home run, that gets a little people worked up too. We want to see, you know, this team is ready for that and get a little chip on their shoulder. I like it. See if they can get out of this jam, Taron's in. Like, we're starting to get the bullpen going, too. That might be needed. We'll keep an eye on this Braves game for you and give you some of the results from the NBA awards that are going on right now. Disappointing, one of them in particular. We'll talk about that and more as we continue. On a Sunday night, it's usually being Sunday. On a Monday night, Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.